You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to have with you a casual chat. I'm just going to share from my heart. Of course, there will be some teaching. I have a couple of scriptures ready to share with you. But I want to share my personal testimony about what Jesus has done in my life and what he is accomplishing through my life. Of course, all glory goes to him. And as you listen to my story, my hope is that you're inspired. My hope is that you say, if God can use him, God can use me. And I want you by the end of this to be praying and saying to the Lord, Lord, use my life too. And I know this with certainty. Not only can God use your life too, but I believe God can use your life in greater dimensions. I'm just going to share a portion of scripture with you, and then I'm going to get right into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29 say this. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. I love the way the King James Version words it, that no flesh should glory in his presence. As early as the age of 7, I battled heavily with anxiety. Now, I believe that the anxiety that came against me was purely demonic. In fact, generations ago, my family had a very high position in the world of the occult. And so there was a spiritual demonic influence that tried to re-enter at every generation. Now, I don't necessarily believe in generational curses. I believe that when you come to Jesus, every curse is broken, and you don't really have to do anything special to break that. But of course, generational curses do apply, I believe, to people who are not saved. Now, I was not a born-again believer as a child. Obviously, you're not born a Christian. You have to accept Christ at a certain age that you recognize that you need him. But this anxiety followed me everywhere. Listen, I would have visions of demonic beings, and I would see them physically manifest in my room as a kid. I would see them in different places. I would hear demonic whispers. I would also hear audibly the voice of God. And I knew that he had called me, and I knew that there was something hovering about me. There was a lot of spiritual activity that surrounded me. My family has stories about this, different things that would happen. But I'll never forget a vision I had of hell. I must have been around that age, 6 or 7 years old. And I remember lying down on my bed, and I looked over at the floor, and the floor opened up, and I could see this pit. And it was a cave-like structure. Along the walls, there were all of these people. I knew they were lost souls. They were embedded into the walls, reaching up at me. I was terrified by this. I rolled over and I tried to ignore it. And I remember when I turned my back, I could feel the heat coming from that pit. And to this day, it's a memory I have. Now, I don't know necessarily where the influence of the Holy Spirit began, but I do remember constantly being sensitive to the spiritual realm. My parents prayed a very special prayer over each and every one of their children. For my older sister, Raquel, they prayed that she would be a worshiper. And to this day, she is a worshiper. She pastors the church with her husband in California. They prayed for my younger brother, Michael, for a spirit of boldness. And believe me, he's very, very bold. But what they prayed for me was that I would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't realize this till much later, but that prayer has impacted everything about the ministry. Think about how the emphasis is on the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was their prayer all along. But you see, when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit are also sensitive to the spiritual realm in general. So as a young boy, I was very much susceptible, I should say, to demonic assaults. One of those demonic assaults was anxiety. And the way anxiety manifested in my life was a very, very terrifying fear of hell. I don't necessarily believe that that fear came from God. I think it was more like along the lines of what he did with Job, where he somewhat allowed something, but it all worked out for his plan. We know that God sent an evil spirit to Saul. We know in the book of Kings that there was the prophets were tested with evil spirits. But aside from all of that, to simplify it, all I know is that overall, the guiding hand of God moved me along the plane of his will. But still, I battled heavily with anxiety. And this, again, as I said, manifested as a fear of hell, fear of the demonic, a fear of standing before God. And one day, I just picked up this book. It was a thick book that my father had. It was like a biblical commentary. And I said, Lord, you have to speak to me about my fear of hell. I kid you not, this is exactly how it went. I said, Lord, I need you to speak clearly about my fear of hell. I'm tired of battling with this. And I opened the book, and literally the first phrase there that I opened to was highlighted. It said that we don't serve God simply because we're afraid of hell, but because he loves us. And I believe that was one of the first ways God tried to get through to me about his love. He wasn't calling me with his wrath. He was calling me with his love. The scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Yes, I believe in hell. Yes, I believe sin leads there. But God's love is what calls us. And yes, there is wrath to come. So don't think I'm not preaching that. That's the true gospel. But fast forward now, I'm sitting in a hotel room. It's a Bible conference. My whole family had gone there. And I remember I stood out of the service. I didn't want to be inside of the church service. I believe there was some demonic influence there. I didn't want to be in the church service. I was 11 years old. I stood in the hotel room, and I was lying on the bed, staring at the ceiling while my family was away at the conference, which was just down the hall. And I remember sweating because I was so afraid of hell. And I said, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to face the wrath of God. And I remember as soon as my dad comes into the room, I told him, Dad, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be sure that I'm right with him. Now, I believe it was the demonic that was harassing me in that way. God calls with his Holy Spirit, but he doesn't torment people. But God used what the enemy meant for evil for good. And so I remember my dad sat across from me on the other bed. There were two beds in the hotel room. He sits across from me, and I said, Dad, I want to know Jesus. I want to receive him. He asked the rest of the family to leave so that it could be more personal. And he took my hands, and I began to pray with him. And as we were praying, I could sense Jesus walk into the room. I just knew it. I sensed this loving, caring presence. It was such a contrast to what was tormenting my mind. And he comes into the room, and as he enters the room, I felt all the anxiety, all of the torment, all of the shame, all of the guilt completely lift from off of me. It was as if a light was shining into the room and therefore expelling all of the darkness. And I remember my dad is trying to lead me in this prayer, and I was sobbing so uncontrollably as I was praying that I couldn't even get the words out. But it wasn't the words that he needed to hear from me. My heart was surrendered. And from that moment on, I knew Jesus. And my prayer life began to grow. Many of you know that story. Some of you, that's where I tell the story. It takes off there. My prayer life begins to grow. For the next 2 years, I'm locking myself in my room 4 to 8 hours a day in the Word, 20, 30, 40 chapters, sometimes 50 chapters of the Word a day, just totally immersed in the Word, totally obsessed with the presence of Jesus. It was during that time that I also was introduced to the Holy Spirit. Now, my prayer life began to grow, and I remember praying this prayer right at about the peak of what was that, what I would call a personal revival. I prayed this prayer, Lord, let my hands be your hands, heal through them. Let my eyes be your eyes, allow me to see things, people, and situations the way you see them. Let my ears be your ears, I want to hear your voice. Let my mouth be your mouth, I want to speak your word. Let my feet be your feet, take me wherever it is you want me to go. Let my heart beat as one with yours. Let my being be your being. Crucify my will, and in its place resurrect your own. And when I prayed that, I believe God anointed my life. See, I didn't really have anything special to offer. That's why I read that portion of Scripture. God chose the foolish things. I was just a young Hispanic kid from the South Bay who would tie his shoes too tight, who had too much gel in his hair, who didn't really dress cool. I wasn't one of the cool kids. I wasn't on the in crowd. I didn't have really anything I could point to that I could say that's special about me. All it was I surrendered to God. I said, take my life. And this is where I want to read to you another scripture. This is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24. Listen to this. This is powerful. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, there's not something special about me. There's someone special about me. Enoch walked with God and simply was not. That's what I want to be. I want to be a was not. I want to be a portal through whom God can move. You see, when we worship and we pray, that's a portal into the heavenly realm. But when we surrender our lives, we become God's portal to the earth. We become the vessel through which he can live his life. And that's all he's looking for. He's not looking for special talent. I used to have people make fun of everything about me. I mean, people made fun of the way my voice sounded. It's got this different sound to it. I know. I've had people stop me in stores and go, I recognize the voice from across the room, and we watch you on YouTube. I used to not like my hair because it was just, it's so hard to do. I felt like it was just this helmet I wear on my head. You looked at me and you saw me, you wouldn't say, there is somebody God will use. But you know what's interesting? All those little things about myself, the way my voice sounds, the lightness of my skin. Yes, I understand. It's a little sickly looking sometimes. And the look of my hair, the sound of my voice, the look of my skin tone, all of it. I used to get made fun of for it all. But it's funny how God uses some of those things. Realize this voice is what God has used to preach gospel, the gospel to nations, to millions, literally millions of people. And it's funny, believe it or not, and I don't mean to be insulting. I have some Asian in my blood. But believe it or not, this hair has opened nations to me because they say you look like some of us and they'll accept you a little better. And because of that, I've been invited places. I used to be insecure about being Hispanic because in certain parts of the country, people treat you differently. They look down on you because you're Hispanic. My last name, Hernandez, I actually had people who would make fun of me and say, well, your name is Hispanic, so you're lesser than. They wouldn't word it that way, but in so many ways they would. But there was a season of my life where God used the last name to give me free airtime on a TV network. And I said, why are you giving me free airtime? They said, well, we have to meet this requirement, and because your last name is Hispanic, you get free airtime. It's amazing what God will do. He wants to use every little thing about you. He wants to use every quality, every character trait, every look, everything about you, every detail he's worked on. Now, of course, there are some things that have to conform to the image of Jesus. But this is what I pray. Let my hands be your hands. Let me be you. Just take me. Overflow. And it began to happen. I asked the Lord for the gifts. I asked him for the gift of healing. I asked him for the gift of the word of knowledge. The first time I used it, I didn't even know I was using it. I was just hanging out with some friends at church. And I just got this thought in my head. And I told this girl very casually, I didn't even realize I was prophesying. I said, hey, do you have a friend at school who wants to commit suicide? And you were talking to her on Friday. And she told you that she wants to commit suicide because her father is verbally abusive. She said, yes. And I said, and she's sitting down, holding her knees, leaning up against her locker as she's telling you this and she's crying. And the girl said, yes, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know. It just flowed. It was natural. It just came out. And that was a result of meeting Jesus and spending time with Jesus. And it just flowed from there. So the overflow begins. Never once, please hear me, never once did I have to call a pastor and say, hey, have me at your church. Never once did I have to pass out a business card and force my way through a door. I simply ministered to the people in front of me. I ministered wherever opportunity I had, and every opportunity to minister that came my way, I took seriously. I used to pray before stepping out on the platform. And to this day, I don't necessarily pray it all the time, but I think it and I feel it and I know it. I used to say out loud, because I'd be so nervous, I'd say, Holy Spirit, go out there with me when I step on that platform. Otherwise, I can't do this. So I was 14. My first book was published. At 16, we shot our first television program, and it was for local cable and Charter. It failed miserably, but we continued. In 2007, I launched a YouTube channel and started doing live streams before live streaming was a thing, so it was very difficult to do. In 2011, that was my first television interview that aired all around the world. In my early 20s, we built our first television studio in Lawndale, California. And each step of the way, I said, Holy Spirit, go with me. Each step of the way, I was just saying, Holy Spirit, help me stay out of the way. Anoint me, use me. I lay it all down. Do you realize that there were passions and ambitions? I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to go into politics. There were so many other ambitions that I had that the Lord said, you have to lay them down. I wanted to go to college and study philosophy. I wanted to be counted among the intellectuals. But God called me. God called me and I laid it all down. There was a season of my life where I had like a crossroads, and it was either pursue a professional path or pursue what God had for me. I wanted to go the professional route because it was security, it was certainty, it was all based on my ability. But God called me and I laid it all down and I don't regret a thing. I don't regret a thing, but I will say this to you. Salvation was free, but the anointing will cost you everything. John chapter 3 verse 30 says, I must decrease, he must increase. And that's really the story of my life. I'm a was not. I'm a portal, a porter for the glory of God. It means I just stay out of the way. Let him live his life through me. And he grew the ministry from there. And every step of the way, he continues to grow the ministry. He continues to bless my life. I still have moments with him that are special. And God wants to do the same with you. God wants to use your life. If you'll just lay it down at the cross, there's nothing the cross can't handle. There's no one, not a person exists that God can't use. God is looking for the one who will yield and make themselves available. I want to pray with you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one being inspired by your Spirit now. And I ask you to touch them, anoint them, and draw them into the depths of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Use them for your glory. Amen. One more thing I want to say. When you spend time with Jesus, instead of trying to grow the ministry in your own strength and power, God will do it for you. When you spend time with Jesus, you're aligning yourself with his will instead of trying to get God to align himself with yours. What happens when you spend time with Jesus is that God begins to trust you. And from there, he puts more into your hands. Well, that is it for the lesson. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.